In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Desmond, and they call me for short Father D. And it's a great joy to be with you at Three Streams Church with Father Scott. He's been a friend to me for a long time, and before I knew Father Scott, I knew Miriam. Because we were there together for the last 16 years with his parents, with their parents, Bobby Marinsky and Mark Marinsky, and they've been great, faithful Christian people who helped me in my ministry in St. Cuthbert. So I'm a kind of a retired guy. 2013, I retired after 40 odd years of ministry. Now it's 48 years of ministry. And I'm an Anglican priest from Sri Lanka. So I retired in 2013, and as God called us, we go to Sri Lanka 3 months there, and we come here and minister 3 months here. Thank you so much for having me today and for all the hospitality, your kindness and invitation, and for all the welcome. It is a great joy to have been with you yesterday. So today we are going to complete what we started yesterday. And I would also say one thing, and that is to thank you for all the prayers while we were there in Sri Lanka. And it was such a wonderful experience this time too. We were there for 3 months. So this is a ministry we do. I promise God that if God gives me the health to do that ministry, that we would go 3 months to Sri Lanka and give back our experience, our gifts that God has given us, share that with the Diocese of Sri Lanka in Colombo. And share the knowledge and help the clergy and encourage them. And I'm here to encourage you this morning as well. So, Father Scott is a great guy. You have, in Miriam and Father Scott, you had two wonderful Christian kids. I can say that because I'm 71 years old. So, my wife and I, that's my wife who is sitting next to Miriam. We are glad to be with you today. Yesterday, we talked about something really that is important, and the first thing we talked about was discipleship. And second thing, we talked about evangelism. And third, we talked about healing. So when you think of the three topics that we shared yesterday, I want to tie that in today with today's readings and all what you heard, and especially St. Paul when he said to stay away from those believers who are idols, idol workers, who are idling, who are doing nothing. Stay away from that kind of person. That's what Paul was saying to the Thessalonian church, right? You heard the reading this morning. And you also heard in the book of Malachi what kind of a thing that the Lord was saying to that church during that time. Today we live in a different age. Now, you heard yesterday that we talked about it. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, Jesus never said you have to be. He said, if you want to be my disciple, then he said, deny yourself. Take up your cross, how often? Daily, and then follow me. That's all he said. Simple as that. Good morning. So, when you think about that pretty seriously, then we said, okay, if I do that, if you want to, when you talk about evangelism, then we said, evangelism, as Dr. D.T. Niles said, evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. If you have those two things in mind, and then we came back to the healing service and healing part of it, and I said healing comes in very different forms. Emotional healing, spiritual healing, physical healing, all kinds of healings. And I said, people came to Jesus, they knelt before him, asked for healing, right? And some people Jesus called and said, hey, come, I want to talk to you, I want to what can I do for you? And some others, you know, like the paralytic who was lowered through the roof, their friends brought him to Jesus for healing. So if you combine all these three topics this morning, I want you to think about it pretty seriously. What do we do at Three Streams Anglican Church? What are we here for? I want to ask you, are you a Jesus fan or are you a Jesus follower? Are you a Jesus fan with the pom-poms and or are you a Jesus follower carrying that cross? But they're two different things. If you want to, I mean, you would have made a decision to follow Jesus. You made that decision, haven't you? Haven't you made that decision? But the question this morning is, have you made a commitment to do that? They're two different things. Salvation is coming to the cross and making a decision to accept Christ. Praise God. But if you make a commitment, you're saying, Lord, I'll take that cross and follow you no matter what. I'll go with you till the day I die. Right? That's the background we came from yesterday. So this morning I want to share with you some things that from St. Paul's epistle, what he said in Galatians. If you have your Bibles, please bear with me. And this is our theme this morning because of yesterday's teachings. It says in Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh." And if we there from Galatians 5:25 drop down a little bit, Paul says, if we live by the Spirit. First thing is that Paul said, but I say, walk by the Spirit, right? But Paul says, then, if you make that commitment, not the decision, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, so in other words, if you do what you're saying, if you put into practice what you're talking about, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Then it says, let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. And he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each man will have to bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. And Paul continues with his letter to the Galatians. A few years ago at the Special Olympics in Seattle, Washington, 9 physically challenged runners lined up at the starting line for the 100-meter run. At the sound of the gun, all runners eagerly started out except for one boy who stumbled. He tumbled over a couple of times and began to cry. The other 8 runners, they all turned back. One girl with Down syndrome bent down and kissed his boy and said, "That will make it better." Then all 9 of them linked arms and walked together to the finish line. Everyone in the stadium stood and the cheering went on for about a solid 10 minutes in cities in Seattle. You and I are watching the Olympics in Rio saw a similar thing. Remember that lady girl who fell? And that woman turned back and came and picked her up and went to the line, finish line. You saw that? Are they Christians? Were they Christians? I don't know. Friends, we are all wounded, messed up, hurting people. We are all challenged in one way or another, and it's with our spiritual family at the church that we journey through life together, helping each other along the way. We live in a world where there's so much hurt and pain and anger today. I don't know how much you know of Bill Hybels, Pastor Bill Hybels in Willow Creek Church in Chicago, the huge church. I've done a lot of leadership work with him, with them. Pastor Bill Hybels always says, the local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. That's you, that's me. That's Three Streams in San Antonio. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, do this. Right? Paul said in Galatians this morning, if you say you are walking in the Spirit, live like this. But I have something else also to share with you this morning. The scriptures tell us in God's word in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. God says this in his word. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, heal their land. It's right here. Ephesians 2:19, the Bible says, you are a member of God's very own family and you belong in God's household with every other Christian, which means we belong to a community. The church is not a place, as I said yesterday, the church is not a place that you go to, but a place that you belong to. So, in Galatians, Paul reminds us this morning that we are called to be three things. That's what I want to talk to you about. First of all, we are called to be a caring Christian. Second, Paul says we have to be bearing Christians. And third, Paul says you have to be sharing Christians. So in Galatians 5:25 through chapter 6 verse 5, Paul describes our personal relationships with fellow believers in the family of God. So he chimes right in the epistle. He says, my friend, if you call yourself spiritual, now that's up to you and to me. What did Jesus say? If you want to be my disciple, right? Paul said, if you want to, if you say you're walking in the Spirit, live like this. God says in 2 Chronicles, if my people do this, I will do this for you. And here again, Paul says, so, if you call yourself a spiritual person, Paul says, first of all, this is what you should do as a Christian. Your responsibility is, my responsibility is to restore people. These, but here, I'll read you from the Amplified Version. Brethren, if any person is overtaken is in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual or who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit should set him right and restore and reinstate him. That's what Bill Hybels, as I told you, that the local church is the hope of the world. You have a message to give. I have a message to give.
the hope that we can take out of this church. Second Paul says in 6:2, why we should restore such a fallen believer. Why? He says, bear or endure or carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral force. And in this way, why? If we fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ. And third, Galatians 6:1, Paul says, how we should go about doing this restoration business. He says, Paul says, do this with any, don't do it with any sense of superiority, but with gentleness. That's the church which needs to go out into the world, into hurting, painful, anger-filled, hate-filled world. That's what God calls us to do. So, have you seen such people who are gentle and who are really walking by the Spirit and, you know, who are trying to follow Christ? Have you seen them in your community at any time? They have servant hearts. And they don't carry a critical attitude all the time. I'm sure, Father, there's nobody who criticizes in this church. I don't believe so. I don't think so. Because once you come to know Jesus in your life, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see both our own sin and our unworthiness, and also, remember this, and also, not only ourselves, but also the importance and the value of other people in the sight of God. I read an email about a man who fell into a pit and couldn't get out of it. This is on the internet, okay, not from the Bible. A Pharisee said, oh, only bad people fall into pits. A self-pitying person said, you haven't seen anything until you have seen my pit. A fire and brimstone preacher said, must be a Baptist, you deserve your pit. A Christian scientist observed, the pit is just in your mind. A psychologist noted, oh, your mother and father are to blame for your being in that pit. Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. The word restore in Greek, that's what you know, you say, you just, Paul says in Galatians, if you are, so you say you are a spiritual person, if you say you are a Christian, the word restore in Greek is the same word for mending nets or a surgeon setting a dislocated bone. We are to get involved in helping the person to his or feet, her feet again, putting him or her back where he or she belongs. And friends, ministry happens anytime you use the abilities that God has given you to help someone else in Jesus' name. And second, caring for other people is not something that just mystically happens. It takes concentrated effort, and it often it's not convenient. Did you hear that? Yes. And often it is not convenient. I remember in Sri Lanka, I was director of St. Luke's Church in Borella, you know, it's a bit of a big church. One night I get a call from the bishop at 11:30 at night. Ooh, why is he calling me at this time of the day? Am I in trouble? No. He says, Desmond, he said, I was coming home this evening and I saw a man fallen by the roadside and I didn't do anything about it. And he said, I'm just tossing and turning in bed, son. He said, I just can't fall asleep. Would you please come with me, help me go find that man? I said, sure. So I got into my vehicle and he came in his vehicle with his driver, and in the dark somehow I found that man. He does, you know, on a grassy patch near the hospital. There was a man fallen. And when he went to the man, he stank like crazy. It was so bad, the smell. But he could hardly see this person in the dark. Somehow we got an ambulance, put him in the ambulance, took him to the hospital, to the emergency room, and nobody would touch him. He was smelling so bad. We were wondering why. So Bishop and I somehow got a stretcher, aluminum stretcher, and we
took him and put him into that. The moment you put him into the that tinny kind of stuff, aluminum thing, and you could hear like kind of like sand falling onto a thing. It was all maggots. He had a huge wound, and that guy was left to die on the road. I mean, the hospital people have known him because he has been there before. And that's what we do to people today in the world. That's what Jesus says. You say you're spiritual. You got to restore these people back again gently. And you got to care for such people in the world. And not only caring, Paul says in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults, and in this way fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ. Friends, we don't all have wealth, but we all have burdens. Some have a physical handicap, chronic sickness. Some have spiritual burdens. Some carry the burden of grief, a pain in your heart that doesn't go away. There are lots of people in the world, in our communities, who wish they are still married. But for a variety of reasons, their marriage fell apart. That's a devastating burden. Some have emotional burdens like depression or anxiety or a financial reversal or whatever. When a fellow believer stumbles and falls into sin, rather than pointing and accusing fingers or shooting our wounded, we are called to reach down and give them a helping hand, to lift them up and help them get back on track. And I think it was Mahatma Gandhi, correct me if I'm wrong, who said Christians are the only people who shoot their wounded. Christians are the only people who shoot their wounded. One hot day, Herman Trueblood, all clean and cooled off by a nice swim in the ocean, saw a man and his two sons trying to push his disabled car up an incline. And two voices yelling at each other inside him. One said, "There is an opportunity for service. You are to help them push." The other voice protested, "Now that is none of your business. You will get yourself all hot and dirty again." He finally yielded to his better impulse. He put his shoulder to the task. The car moved and kept moving. A simple thing then happened, which Trueblood says he never forgot. The father stuck out his dirty hand and said, "I'm very glad that you came along. You had just enough strength added to ours to make the thing go. You had just enough strength added to ours to make the thing go." In a hurting, anger-filled, hateful world, that's what God is calling us to do. To be a caring Christian. To be a sharing Christian. To bear one another's burdens. There are many people struggling today to get some heavy load over the hill. You and I probably have just enough strength added to theirs to make the thing go. Galatians 6:6, what it says, "Share every good thing you have with everyone, anyone who teaches you what God has said." What does sharing look to you this morning? We must remember that what we do with material things is an evidence of how we value spiritual things. Let me say that again. What we do with material things is an evidence of how we value spiritual things. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, when the Samaritan saw the man fallen by the roadside? He didn't just say, "Boy, that's tough, I'll pray for you."
What's the first thing that people say when somebody unburdens themselves and, you know, say that to somebody? Oh, brother, oh, sister, I'll be praying for you. I'll pray for you. And don't even remember to pray for those poor guys. Say no to that. When we come to a hard decision, you know, what do people first say? Let me think about it and pray about it. That's an escape route that you take. There's a standard phrase that some Christians use. Unfortunately, sadly, I'll pray for you. He didn't smell it and didn't say, boy, that's sad. Boy, that's tough. I'll pray for you. And he didn't move on. If you feel deeply in your heart that you need to care, those feelings need to be expressed in action. The Samaritan didn't just say he cared. He showed he cared. And it cost him time, energy, and also money. He bandaged his wounds. He poured oil and wine on his wounds. He put him on his donkey. He shared his beast. He brought him to an inn and he took care of him. He shared his checkbook and his credit card also. That's how he cared. If you have read enough about Sadhu Sundar Singh, the saint who walked, saint of the bleeding feet, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. And this is the last thing that Paul said. In Galatians 6:10, Paul says, so then, as often as we have the chance, we should do good to everyone, especially to those who belong to our family in the faith. So yesterday we said about discipleship, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, he never forces us to do that. If you want to take up your cross, deny yourself daily and follow me. And today Paul said, if you say you are a Christian, if you say you're walking in the Spirit, this is how you should live as a Christian, right? Caring for other people, bearing others' burdens, and sharing what you have with other people. And then God says, if you live like this, he says, God says, if my people who are called, who are those people who are called disciples, Christians, people who are called by my name, will repent and turn unto me, I will listen to their prayers, I will heal even their land. The question this morning is this: am I a caring, bearing, sharing Christian? Or do I claim to be just a Christian who have no concern with God's people? And ask yourself one little thing before God this morning. What sort of a Christian am I? What sort of a Christian am I? God bless you. Love you. Amen.